You're listening to the official Euro 2020 podcast in association with Qatar Airways.
Saka still has to score, of course. Pressure on a 19-year-old. And now Italy win. They're European champions for only the second time.
It's glory for Italy at Wembley on a dramatic night.
Yes, the Azzurri are Euro 2020 winners on penalties. A first triumph in this competition since 1968.
England were desperate to win Euro for the first time, but it wasn't to be. We'll get the thoughts of captain Harry Kane and the former striker Alan Smith joins us from Wembley.
And you'll also hear the moment Italy lifted the trophy. We'll look back on a stunning tournament too.
Welcome to the show, presented by Qatar Airways. I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by my co-host Chris Parrott as the Italian fans celebrate, Chris.
Yeah, and you can hear them there. They are loving it on Wembley pitch, including Leonardo Spinazzola, who is there on crutches. And there are tears from Roberto Mancini as he celebrates a massive, historic, compelling success.
And we also have the European football expert Andy Brassel with us. Andy, it went all the way.
It did, and such a cruel ending for England, who gave so much to the tournament, created such a sense of optimism and hope around their national team. But Roberto Mancini has done the same for Italy. And at a moment like this, it's inevitable that you see tears. And as Chris was saying, Mancini has done so much to turn Italy around in the last 3 years, not even qualifiers, of course, for the FIFA World Cup in 2018. But this meant so much to him. He would have walked back from St. Petersburg to Rome to take this job on, and you know how much it means.
Certainly does. Poignant moment now. We're seeing Gareth Southgate just lead a team huddle out on the Wembley pitch. Those, well, you heard there, that was the applause of the England players after that, presumably saying, look, we played our part in a wonderful final, and we were a shootout away from victory. And now you hear the celebrations to the Italy team in front of their small band of supporters at the other end of Wembley, led by Bernardeschi and Bonucci. And, well, these moments for every Italy fans, massive, as they now sing the song.
See Federico Chiesa and Florenzi as well leading the cheers in front of their section of the supporters. We can see tears in the eyes of Harry Kane, the England captain, who dreamed of his first ever major trophy as a professional footballer. As Bernardeschi as well looks up to the skies as well, the lights that line the top of Wembley Stadium are in green, white and red, the colours of Italy, as Roberto Mancini composes himself with the trophy lift to come very shortly here on the show.
Yeah, and this is the thing about penalty shootouts, right? Everyone almost has a poker face, I think. And then when the winning penalty goes in, or the goalkeeper saves on this occasion from Bukayo Saka, all of a sudden all of that emotion comes out. And there are tears everywhere at Wembley. They are joyful tears for Italy, and they are tears of sorrow for England and their supporters, who must have thought, when they took the lead in the shootout, that this was finally going to be their time and they were finally going to win something for the first time since 1966. But, you know, I think over the course of the whole game, Rob, and England took the lead inside 2 minutes, I actually think from that point onwards, Italy were the dominant team. And probably worth mentioning now, the voices you just heard are those two twins at the back, Leonardo Bonucci and Giorgio Chiellini, walking past the plinth where they will very shortly lift the trophy into the Wembley air. And those two were magnificent again in the final.
Okay, let's remind you of how this incredible final unfolded.
Trippier for a fantastic start here. Shaw, they've got it! His first goal for England, and what a time to get it!
Look at that for the finish in the biggest match of his life.
Chiesa goes on! And that's the sharpest thrust from the Italians so far. And there is the half-time whistle. England lead at half-time, looking for silverware. England wary of challenging him, and they could pay a price. It's a great save from Pickford. The danger of Chiesa is so apparent again. Fizzed in low, flick on. and it's forced in the end from very close range by Leo Bonucci, and Italy are level. There have been signs. For only the second time in the history of this competition, it will be decided from the spot. 1-1. Saka still has the score, of course. Pressure on a 19-year-old. And now, Italy win. They're European champions for only the second time.
And that was the final kick of the shootout. Italy winning it by 3-2 on penalties. Jorginho, moments before that, had a penalty saved by Jordan Pickford. It looked like the lifeline. But three penalty misses in a row. Rashford, Sancho and Saka. Three young men who stepped up and took courage in that moment.
Absolutely, and two of them had been brought on very late on in extra time, presumably to take penalties. And, you know, you're very brave to step forward and take one. Unfortunately, someone has to miss them. And Italy and Donnarumma, ultimately the hero. A word for Jordan Pickford, because he saved two penalty kicks in that shootout and he's on the losing side. That doesn't happen very often. We are now seeing a lovely moment, really, of football unity, because with Roberto Mancini still, we can barely believe it, actually. He is there, and the Italy players have formed a tunnel, really, which Bjorn Kuipers and the referees are about to walk through, and I imagine after which the England players might walk through as well, because all of those players out on the pitch now, those celebrating and those commiserating, will know they played their part in an utterly gripping final.
Yeah, they've formed the guard of honour, and the Henri Delaunay trophy is being walked out now ahead of the trophy lift, Chris.
Yeah, by the man who scored the winner in 2016, Eder, and very shortly the Portuguese green and red ribbons are going to be replaced, right, by the Italy colours, and they are going to lift this trophy for just the second time and for the first time since they hosted it back in the 60s, and now it is being put on that plinth. And every single England fan left in Wembley can barely watch, but I tell you, nobody has left from the Italy end. They kicked it all off on Friday the 11th of June with a victory, and here they are exactly Ladies 1 month later, and they're about to finally get their hands on the trophy.
Andy, this is an excellent Italy side.
Yeah, it really is, Rob. And we're just seeing the emotion of Gigi Donnarumma there as being sent up to get his award of player of the tournament from Alexander Ceferin, the president, and well deserved. He's just been such an incredible presence for this Italy side. But it's interesting, a player like him receiving the trophy when Italy have offered so much in an attacking sense. And so many people said before the tournament that only a team playing reserved, controlled, sort of, I guess, circumspect football could win a summer tournament. But Italy have proved that that's not the case. And in fact, they've played some great attacking football, but they've dug in when they've needed to. They're a very, very versatile side. And Roberto Mancini has been so integral because he's made every one of those players feel involved. And they've all been ready when they've stepped up.
Yeah, here comes Bjorn Kuipers through that guard of honour. Donnarumma is 22 and he's just won the player of the tournament at a major championship, and well deserved. And we just saw a nice little jig, and we've heard from our Italy reporter Paolo Menicucci on this show a lot about the spirit in this Italy camp and how Insigne is the guy that has basically led the practical jokes. There he was in that guard of honour. I think I almost saw Donnarumma pretending to tackle Bonucci as well. Their party's going to go on very, very late.
Alexander Ceferin, meanwhile, the UEFA president, handing out the medals to the participating officials, and England will be up next. We will be bringing you player and hopefully head coach reaction as well, surely, as the Italian players dance on the pitch in their guard of honour. Spinazzola with his crutches in the air as he limps on one foot after his Achilles injury, of course, against Belgium. And it has been a tremendous run of results to get this far. But Andy Brassel, England up. And what a tournament. They're led by Gareth Southgate through the guard of honour here.
Yeah, that's right. And Gareth Southgate had a plan right at the start of the tournament about how they would win the tournament. They have played a little bit with a handbrake on at times. It's been felt in England, but I felt they've been perfectly poised, well-paced. They've managed games well on the whole, but it's been really tough against Italy. They had that fantastic start, of course, this evening, England, but Italy were always going to come back into it at some point. England defended very well for the bulk of that, and Jordan Pickford didn't have a huge amount of saves to make in the 120 minutes, which I think is kind of testament to Gareth Southgate's organisation of this team. But really, they needed the second goal when they were on top after that brilliant start given to them by Luke Shaw.
You can still see the red eyes of some of these players, Chris, including Calvin Phillips, who a year ago hadn't even played top-tier football in England as he receives his medal.
Yeah, and I've just seen a couple of the players, Mason Mount and Jack Grealish, just take that medal off, and many players will do that. And we've talked so much about this being a very young squad, and they're going to absolutely hate this moment. It's the worst walk to make in football, but they might just walk past that trophy and think we are absolutely coming back in 3 years' time in Germany to win it. Because, you know, Andy talked there about, I think what would have been, we would have been talking about a tactical masterclass over the last month. England were a penalty shootout away from winning this Euro 2020. And a lot of talk, I'm sure, will happen about the ifs and buts of a shootout. But ultimately, it's a horrible way to lose. And Donnarumma was the guy. But these are tough moments for these England players who have given so much to a tournament, of course, most of which has been played at home for them.
Well, you can see at the back of the line for England, the last player to pick up a runners-up medal. And by the way, no England team has done better than this since 1966, yeah. Of course. Jude Bellingham, at the age of just 18, will hope to be back for occasions like this. Raheem Sterling was one of those to collect his medal. Had the outcome been different, he may well have been player of the tournament. First up for Italy here, Spinazzola limps his way to the platform.
That's lovely, because I think the Italy squad say, you go up first. Arguably one of the players of the tournament, missed the semi-final and the final, but he is all smiles now. That's one of the moments of Euro 2020 for me. He's joined very quickly on the podium by a dancing Leonardo Bonucci, but I wonder if that was partly the Italy squad saying to Spinazzola, you get your moment in the limelight now for a few seconds.
And Andy, it's an indicator of, like England, of a united group.
Yeah, that's right. And if we go back to the very beginning when Roberto Mancini got the job in 2018, he picked that absolutely enormous first squad of 40 players, including Nicola Sagnolo, who of course couldn't be at this tournament, the Roman midfielder, because of injury. At that point, he hadn't played a first-team game for Roma, and he called him up because he wanted to establish a relationship with the players, let them know that they were all in his mind, that there was real competition. And you feel that spirit of togetherness and that sense of healthy competition, that everyone feels they're going to get a fair go and that they can be important.
And you know, everyone has to suffer to win a major tournament, but we're talking about Spinazzola, arguably the best player on the pitch, had to come off injured. He's just getting his medal now from Alexander Čeferin, and that is Federico Chiesa. Boy, he deserves to kiss that trophy as he does now. But so they had no Spinazzola and they had no Chiesa for, well, in the end, the majority of the final, but they found a way to win. And here comes Mancini and then Chiellini at the back of the line.
A man who lost a European Cup final here with Wembley, playing for Sampdoria, wins at Wembley. Let's go to your commentary team for the trophy lift, Alan Smith and Martin Tyler.
What a man, what a team. These are the boys of Euro 2020, and they are Italy! Switzerland, and from the very off, they look like a team to beat. One of the teams to beat, at least. I think the belief within the camp grew and grew. And it's got them to this point, this glorious moment for all those players and staff. A moment they'll never forget as long as they live. He's made history. The first three games in Rome, that was an advantage. But then three games at Wembley, they've turned this ground into their second home.
They've stopped football coming home, as the England song goes. And they are champions of Europe. And the celebrations here are totally deserved. They have completed their Italian job in a superb setting. From first whistle to last penalty, it has been Italy's Euro 2020. Well played.
Martin Tyler and Alan Smith there, the Wembley Arch lit up in the green, white and red of the Italian flag. Fireworks fly high into the sky as Leonardo Bonucci lifts the trophy in front of the supporters in their pocket of Wembley. And a moment that just drips with glory, Chris.
And again, they've won it on penalties, their last major triumph, the World Cup all those years ago in Berlin against France. And now they're having their moments at another cathedral, another amphitheatre, another great European stadium here. Spinazzola is on the back of one of his teammates because of the injury. And every player now is getting their moment with the trophy. Here's Jorginho. What a couple of months for him. He's just won the Champions League. Now he's won the European Championship. Of course, he missed the penalty, but he will not care a jot. And there is Spinazzola's moment. And these are memories that every one of these players will cherish. Just a reminder, I know Andy Brassel mentioned it already. Italy did not make the FIFA World Cup only 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And here they are, this group of players, champions of Europe.
It is actually quite wonderful, Chris, how we're seeing on the pitch. Spinazzola is really at the centre of it after that devastating injury that took him out of the quarter-final against Belgium. And when all the Italy players just ran to their fans at one end of the stadium, of course, he couldn't keep up. He was on crutches, and a couple of his teammates stayed behind him to help him hop along. And then they got him the trophy so he could be one of the first to lift it. It's quite wonderful to see. And he had a huge influence on the early part of the tournament. And really, those were the high points of the tournament. I think that first half in Munich, the Italian performance against Belgium was absolutely fantastic. The best football that anyone played in this tournament. Really quite breathtaking. A high watermark for UEFA Euro 2020. There was so much of that in the group as well. They were never going to be able to perform like that seven times, Italy. It's simply not possible. But they were able to play the best football in the tournament when they did play, and then really tough it out at the moments they had to dig in the first half tonight, when they were second best for large parts of the semi-final against Spain, a tricky second half against Austria, also at Wembley. They've really been through the ringer at Wembley, we have to say, in the last 16, and they still found a way.
Just seeing a replay of the trophy lift, and you have Roberto Mancini in the middle of the Italy players, and then getting in the way of the shot is Gianluca Vialli, just celebrating a bit like every single Italy fan. And you mentioned that Sampdoria 1992 defeat on this ground, albeit the old Wembley. Of course, he was there alongside Roberto Mancini. He has just been given the all clear from a very, very nasty illness, Vialli as well, which has touched the hearts of a nation in that part of the world. And to see him on the pitch, smiling, laughing, and frankly doing a bit of a dad dance at the trophy lift. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, I'm sure that UEFA's Italy correspondent is doing one as well. Vieri Capretta joins us now from Italy. Vieri, I'm sure the car horns are going off in the distance.
Yeah, they are, not just in the distance.
What a tremendous result for Italy, a team that has long waited to add to their tally of Euro titles.
Unbelievable. I remember the 2012 and 2000 final very, very well. I thought England were going to win tonight. I thought they were favourites. When Jorginho, who never misses a penalty, missed the penalty, I thought, right, it's England. And then Donnarumma, I mean, I'm lost for words, but yeah, it's unbelievable, and the people of Italy are all celebrating. It's incredible. I think Italy deserved this, to be honest, because for me, they've played the best football throughout the tournament.
Star of the match was the man who got the equaliser, Leonardo Bonucci. Just how good was he at Wembley?
Yeah, I think he was great. I think personally, I think Harry Kane is an amazing striker. I think Kane had a great performance, but Bonucci and Chiellini held him back. Bonucci also got that vital equaliser. And I thought Italy tonight struggled to score. So you kind of needed that extra little bit from a defender on a set piece. And, you know, he got that goal. He scored his penalty. What more can you ask in a final, to be honest? So incredible performance by Bonucci.
Fieri, tell us a little bit about the atmosphere in Italy today, because the excitement in England has been something extraordinary. You know, you had a full Wembley way 6 hours before kickoff. It's something we expect for a UEFA Champions League night in San Paolo or somewhere like that, not something we expect in northwest London. So how have people been preparing for the final all day in Italy?
Well, I think Italians are a bit different to the English. I thought a lot of it, Italians are very superstitious. We're never going to say we win before we've done it. So everyone was a bit quiet throughout the day. And then don't forget COVID restrictions and all of that. All of this put together, I thought, yeah, I've been in central Milan today and it was a bit quiet. You could see the Italy flags being ready. But I can tell you now, it's a very different atmosphere now after the penalties. And if there's one way you want to win a Euro, it's on penalties, because there's nothing quite like that in terms of how emotional it is. So I know the England fans were very confident. I thought England were favourites. But in the end, despite a very quiet, relatively quiet day, now it's the night for the Italians.
Vieri, I'm just looking at pictures of Wembley, and Alessandro Florenzi is walking around with part of the net on his head. Some of the other players are clearly just phoning home now, including Chiesa, with huge smiles on their faces. Of course, they've been away from their families for a very, very long time in these secure bubbles. Just coming back to a quote from Roberto Mancini pre the tournament, when he said his main hope was to bring joy to the country after a tough year. Well, my word, Roberto Mancini and this Azzurri team have done that.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think regardless of the final result, everyone would have been very happy, considering Italy didn't even make it to the 2018 World Cup and how tough it's been the last couple of years. And then not only did Italy win the tournament, but they did it playing incredible football, mixing great technique and control in midfield with old-style Italian defending, and also just throwing the heart across the line, which is what Italy is about. And it's been in so many previous tournaments. And let's not forget, yeah, Italy did win 4 World Cups, but Euro is a bit different, because the 2012 final 4-0 defeat to Spain, that, you know, that's pretty bad already with the result. Euro 2000, golden goal. So we were, you know, I thought if Italy lost on penalties tonight, it would have been the third in a very short space of time. But yeah, what more Mancini did, he believed in this group of players for 2-3 years, never ever went back on what he believed. And in the end, he was right. And I think I'll go back, instead of talking about the emotions, I'll go on the tactics now. When he subbed off Immobile and brought on a winger like Berardi, bringing in Insigne, that was a really smart move. I think the game changed there. Italy controlled the midfield a lot better. And the second half, England hardly ever had possession. And that was brilliant. And when Berardi came on, I thought, how are we going to do without a striker? Obviously, there's a reason why I'm here talking to you guys and Mancini is there celebrating.
Vieri, thank you so much for joining us on the show throughout the course of the season, and congratulations to Italy.
Thank you very much. I'll celebrate for you guys as well.
UEFA's Italy correspondent Vieri Capretta joining us. Okay, let's go live to Wembley then and speak to the former England international striker, Alan Smith, who we've been hearing commentate on the game and the trophy lift. Hi, Alan.
Hi, mate. You okay?
Not bad. A tough one for England, and in particular, Alan, for the three players who missed their penalties.
Yeah, extremely tough. I mean, if you're going to miss 3 out of 5 penalties, you haven't got too much chance, have you? And when I saw Saka, young Bakayo, step up for that fifth one, I just feared the worst, because such a momentous moment for one so young, no matter if he's so talented, but he's only human. And I just felt for him even before he'd taken it, and it was just the worst thing to happen. But disappointing from England's point of view after such a fantastic start. I thought they took a step or two back and Italy dominated it, really. They controlled the match, and that's the big disappointment. I hope that Gareth Southgate would change the pattern. Certainly did with his substitutions. We just didn't claw back the momentum.
Alan, we all know England's history with penalty shootouts, and this is another very disappointing one, of course, for the Three Lions. You were inside Wembley when Jordan Pickford saved from Bellotti to put England ahead. Did you and the majority of the stadium begin to think this is going to be their year?
You hope, don't you? You do hope, but we've kind of been in these kind of positions before, it just wasn't to be. And I said in commentary that I thought we'd got over our penalty hoodoo by beating Colombia in the World Cup in Russia. Now, this has maybe taken us a step back or two in terms of our mental attitude towards penalties, you know. This might give us another mental block from 12 yards again. I hope not. But to move forward, we need to be better in these situations. Be much better than we were tonight.
And Alan, Italy had to roll with the punches a little bit as well, because part of them taking control in the second half was a brilliant, brilliant performance by Federico Chiesa. And just at the moment where it looked like he might take the game away from England, he picked up that injury and it was a big loss to the final.
It was, yeah. But they managed to get round it. I thought Mancini used his substitutions well. Cristante was excellent when he came on. Chiesa was a thorn in England's side for most of the night. He had a fantastic game. So much pace and trickery and desire. But you have to surmount these hurdles, don't you, if you're going to win a tournament like this. And Italy did just that.
Alan, there was that loose pass from Harry Maguire in the first minute where you thought, oh, what kind of mood are England in here? And then suddenly they ripped the game open. Brilliant goal from Luke Shaw. Harry Kane seemed to be running it. How exactly do you think England lost control on the night?
I don't know whether it's a mental thing. We did seem to allow them to take the initiative. I mean, you have to hand Italy... give them great credit for the way that they responded to such an early setback. But we never really clawed back any of that dominance. We never used our attackers, you know, our attacking strength in the way that we all hoped we could in this tournament. And we're obviously low scorers, and we managed to get the job done over the course of the competition. But tonight, we were never able to fully utilise our talents in the attacking third. And that was a big disappointment.
Alan, of course, this is a very young England squad. And you know, it almost seems flippant to ask now, but do you think at some stage over the coming weeks and months, maybe years, they will realise what they have achieved by getting to a major final?
Well, it is a step forward, isn't it? Of course it is. We haven't got to a major final for 55 years, so you have to say that that's a progress. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like it tonight. I'm sure Southgate won't think that, and the players won't think it, but when they sum it up in the cold light of day, at least we have got to a final, having got to a semi-final of the World Cup. So I think going forward now, we are a team that expects to get to the latter stages of these competitions, and we should do with the talent that we've got.
Alan, we've loved your company and your commentary. Thank you very much for joining us on the show so many times. And thanks. And hopefully you enjoyed the tournament.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Better luck next time, eh?
Exactly, Alan. Thank you very much. The former England international striker, Alan Smith, there. OK, let's get some fan reaction on the show next from London. Our reporter, Lindsay Hooper, is with the fans at Trafalgar Square.
The fan zone's emptying, and as you can imagine, it's been pretty quiet reaction to that penalty shootout. What can I say about the faces that I've seen? But coming into London today, it was a completely different atmosphere. Huge party, hundreds, thousands of people coming to London, a lot of expectation. But this is how it's ended, and I'm joined by Gary, who's an England fan, who's managed to stay along with me. Just your thoughts, first of all, Gary. You've supported the team for a long time, and I can see you're emotional.
I just can't believe it. Like, it's easier to say now, like, I'm watching it back on the replays, and they're young guys, they're 5-6 years older than me, and Saka had a lot of pressure on his shoulder, but I just thought we could do it. I really honestly thought we could do it this. Thought we had the talent and that, and I can't criticise Southgate, I can't criticise anything to do with the squad, but I'm gutted. I'm absolutely gutted. Italy, fair play. They're good at what they do. Took us all the way, going to the penalties. And if my head said I thought Italy would win, my heart, I hoped England would win, but it is what it is. And yeah, that's it.
Thank you both for speaking to me. Worth mentioning as well that although there was silence here for quite a few minutes after the final whistle, we did have a rendition of the national anthem for a while and then lots of cheering. So there was an appreciation for this England team and what they managed to do in the competition. They just couldn't get over that finish line, and some very disappointed fans on their way home.
Our very own Lindsay, reporter in Trafalgar Square in London, getting some fan reaction there. Heartbroken England. Andy Brassel and Chris Parrott with me, Rob Daly. But it is a jubilant Italy as we see back replays of the moment when Bukayo Saka's penalty was saved and Italy celebrated wildly with their head coach, Roberto Mancini. OK, shall we break down the game then, gents, next? OK, so England came into this switching up their system to a back three. Saka out, Trippier in, a decision that paid off almost instantly when the two wing backs linked up for the opening goal. Italy were unchanged. And Chris, what did you make of that opening 45 after that, let's face it, brilliant goal from Luke Shaw?
It was quite like what we've seen England in almost every game apart from the last 16 match at Wembley against Germany, when they started slowly. But again, they started very, very quickly. They scored after 1 minute and 56 seconds, the quickest ever goal in the final of a European Championship. And they were well worth their lead. But I think after about, I think I said to you actually off air, and it's a bit of a cliche, but I said England need a second right now, because they were very much on top. I think Italy were surprised by the formation, by how deep Harry Kane was dropping. He was basically playing as a false nine, despite the fact he's probably one of the best number nines in the world. They didn't really have that focal point. He was sort of dropping almost into midfield. He was causing havoc, but Italy found it out somehow. And actually, from the moment that Federico Chiesa went on a wonderful run, Andy, and had that shot wide, I've just looked at my notes. Italy were basically on top for me from then.
What, minute 35 is that? Yeah.
Minute 35, yeah. Right through to the penalty shootout.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Chris. But I would still say for the remainder of that first half, it felt as if England were in a good spot, that they were able to let Italy have lots of the ball but stop them from really advancing.
Exactly. It was the spell even where Italy did start getting control of the ball, wasn't it, Andy? But exactly. Weren't really threatening too much.
Exactly. And even that Chiesa chance that we were talking about, if he's shooting from there, it has to be something amazing to beat Jordan Pickford from that sort of distance. But when Italy started to open England up a little bit in the second half, that was maybe a little bit different. And there didn't appear to be an out ball for England like there was in the first half. And, you know, you talked about Harry Kane dropping deep. He wasn't able to do that as much in the second half because, of course, Chiellini and Bonucci are fantastic. We know that. But when Kane comes closer towards the halfway line, they're never coming with him.
No.
Because
no.
They'd leave an enormous gap behind them. So that was really where Kane could make the most of it. And he was amazing, I thought, in that first half. But then I think as the game went on, maybe the subs could have happened a little bit earlier for England. I thought Raheem Sterling, who, again, has had a good claim to be player of the tournament, he's been absolutely fantastic. He started to tire, really, I thought, for the first time in this tournament, which really shows how much it takes to go the distance with this excellent Italy side.
I'm just seeing, by the way, as we talk, Leonardo Bonucci is being interviewed. He has his hands on his head. He looks emotionally whacked right now. He's had the high of the shootout victory and all the celebrations. He looks
the high of the goal that he scored
the high of the
to
goal,
level the game.
He looks exhausted for the first time in this tournament. But I think the key moment, and we chatted a bit with Vieri about it, was, and this was something that we mused, I think you called it actually, Rob. Let's give you some credit after a month.
Oh, thank you.
After
that
a
time.
Month. You said that you thought at some stage they could potentially, if they wanted to, go for that food front three, right? And they did that when they took Immobile off after 54 minutes and they brought Berardi on and they played Chiesa centrally and they had Insigne, Berardi and Chiesa. And I don't know, I felt that changed the course of the game.
It did work better because they weren't creating, because of how many players were back for England. It felt like Immobile is such a penalty box player.
Yeah.
he just could not get in the game. They were not fashioning those kind of clear-cut chances. Too many bodies. And then suddenly, you look at the number of chances they were creating. Barra Johnstone's sort of header, shoulder effort that was tipped over by Donnarumma. It was all Italy. The goal, Andy, England have been very good, not only at attacking set pieces, but defending them as well. So what do you think happened here that allowed Bonucci in to score from, a metre out?
Well, I think once the headers... one at the near post is very, very difficult to defend. And I just wonder, actually, if the corner was slightly mishit from Berardi.
Yeah, I agree.
It felt like that as if he sliced it a little bit and it ended up shorter than he wanted it to go, which Italy managed to adapt to and England didn't so much, because once the flick happens, it's almost impossible to defend. And, you know, it's easily forgotten. You know, there are many heroes on the losing side who fade away as time goes by. Jordan Pickford, who had a really good night, terrific save by him from Verratti's header. And you're not expecting Marco Verratti to get a header in the six-yard box, but he managed to change direction, turn it onto the post. And unfortunately for him, Bonucci was able to put away that deserved, it has to be said, equaliser for Italy.
Luke Shaw goal and a Marco Verratti header in the penalty area. Two very unlikely things. But that was Shaw's, by the way. We missed it. The first goal for England. Only his fourth professional goal. And I've just seen the goal back. I'm convinced Bernardeschi slightly mishits it, and that's why the ball goes to the near post and it's flicked on, very importantly, and then from that moment on it's chaos in the penalty area. Pickford does make a very good save, and shortly before that he'd made a wonderful save from Chiesa's shot down to his left-hand side. So you put those two stops from Pickford and his two penalty shootout saves, and he's sitting in the dressing room as a loser.
It's actually, had they won the shootout, you never know, they could have given the star of the match to Pickford after this one. Leonardo Bonucci, who scored the equalising goal and celebrated in some style, did so at full time as well.
It's coming through! It's coming through!
Well, a little play on it's coming home there, and it's certainly one the Italian fans have been on about. And of course, they started their campaign in Rome and ends at Wembley, which did become a second home. Three extra times at Wembley as well for Italy, despite having conceded the fastest goal in a Euro final ever. 1:56, wasn't it, Chris? It got changed. It was 57.
It's important, though, because at some stage someone might beat it, and, you know, if it's 1:57, they won't have beaten it. So, we've talked all tournament long about the not just the passion, the quality, but the unity that this squad has. And I think you've seen it, right? This is the biggest game of some of these players' lives. Some have played in Champions League finals, but there they are inside 2 minutes away from home, 1-0 down. That takes some guts, it really does, to come back and ultimately win on a penalty shootout.
OK, here's a reminder of how Italy won Euro 2020. It started on day one of the whole tournament, on the 11th of June, and what a journey it has been.
Mobile, Insigne, three. They've got three, Italy.
This Italy side was always on point throughout the qualifiers, and tonight they showed it. The people of Rome have been having a great time in the past couple of days, and it can only get better.
It's certainly worth a shot from distance when that happens, and Ciro Immobile makes full use of the little time that was remaining. And it's tucked in by Pessina.
Italy are already through to the first knockout round, Rob. A second straight 3-0 victory. They were absolutely brilliant against Switzerland in Rome. It is now 10 victories in a row without conceding.
Chiesa! Breakthrough for Italy! Time.
Such a difficult game for them tonight. They came through it, and you saw the scenes afterwards, all in the group, the little circle and everything. They're absolutely buzzing within that squad.
Insigne now, still going, sees the chance,
what a
takes
goal.
The chance. Brilliant, brilliant from Insigne.
Picked up here by Chiesa. Oh, sensational in the semi-final.
Reaching the final was great for this group of players. Just remember where Italy were 3 years ago, failing to qualify for the World Cup, and now reaching the final year. It's a great, great enthusiasm.
And now Italy win. They're European champions for only the second time.
A fitting tribute to Italy's run to a second Euro title. It concluded with a penalty success. Andy Brassel, Chris Parrott, why don't we break down the penalty shootout as well? So Berardi off the bench, stepped up, scored, Kane scored, and then the first miss. Mm. Jordan Pickford with the save to deny Belotti.
Yeah, and he's a guy who takes a lot of penalties for his club side, Torino. And you thought at that moment, OK, England are in control here. And almost the first big, big moment was then where Marcus Rashford stepped up, having been on the pitch for seconds, really.
You have skipped over Harry Maguire's thumping penalty into the top corner.
There's so much happened. I think it broke the camera.
Yeah, it did. It did break the camera.
That was the high point for England in the shootout. But then I think after Bonucci had levelled, then Rashford... Now, I've seen Marcus Rashford take lots of pressure penalties for Manchester United over the last couple of years, and he very, very rarely does what he did here, which was he waited for the goalkeeper to move, or he tried to outfox him. He stuttered. Normally he's the guy, he steps up, he picks his corner and he hits it true, but he delayed, and you have to say that Donnarumma, although he didn't guess the right way, stood tall, and then he clipped the outside of the post with that spot kick.
We just saw the replay, and Rashford is doing that thing that Jorginho does when he does his jump, where he looks at the keeper and is, where are you, and waits for the keeper to move. And Donnarumma must have been, I'm not moving, I'm not going to move. And then Rashford hit the post. Bernadeschi scored, and then Sancho and Saka were the unlucky ones as well. Jorginho, with the let-off, he immediately burst into tears, Andy, at full-time, because he thought he'd cost his team potentially the title.
Yes, that's right. And it would have been cruel as well, especially after he played such a huge role throughout the tournament. I thought in his general play, he's the guy who gives Italy purpose, who gives Italy focus, who knits it all together and makes it make sense. Cool as a cucumber in the semi-final, of course. But we talked about fine margins, and you could talk about that in the final globally. So close to Jorginho being the hero again. So close to Marcus Rashford getting it right, of course, hitting the post. And Jadon Sancho and Bukayo Saka not getting to make the impact that they wanted after they all came on at the end. Maybe a little bit reminiscent of Rodri and how he came on and missed a penalty quite soon after that in the shootout. But, you know, it's incredibly, incredibly tough to take for England. Deserved for Italy, I think, but... honestly, who would be in a penalty shootout? And really, I think you have to applaud the nerves of all these players after what's been a long and very enriching tournament on the back of a very, very long and unusual season.
Yeah, and I think when we look back in, you know, time at this, what has been a thrilling tournament, I mean, so much extra time and so many penalty shootouts, and England know how France feel and Switzerland feel. In fact, the only team who loves penalties is Italy, because they've now won two. But it's been a tournament of shootout reallys, and Italy have proved to be the masters ultimately. And a lot of that is down to Donnarumma, right? And that's why he was named as the best player at Euro 2020, because twice he has effectively won Italy a shootout and therefore won them the whole thing.
The big game moments for a very excellent defence as well for the Italian national team. Final reflections on this run for England, Andy. You know, a tremendous run. There's been some famous wins, of course. The Denmark victory, the drama of that. The game against Germany in the round of 16, sort of breaking that sort of hoodoo against the Germans. The brilliant win in Rome. I mean, it has been, for Gareth Southgate and his men, a remarkable run.
It has, and they're a young side with a lot of potential to get better, to do big things, I think, in the FIFA World Cup that's going to come in only a year and a half, and as well the next Euro in Germany in 2024, which is going to be a fantastic tournament. But I think when you look at the feeling they created from those games at Wembley, it was something special. And that has been the unique thing about this tournament, of course. The fact that so many of the teams have been able to create unique moments with their own fans, from Denmark to Hungary to Italy themselves in Rome.
OK, let's hear from England's captain, Harry Kane.
Yeah, tough one to take for sure. Obviously, penalty shootouts are the worst way to lose. Yeah, it's obviously disappointing, but we've got to hold our heads held high. You know, we had a fantastic tournament. It hurts now. It's going to hurt for a long time, of course. But the boys should be proud of themselves, so we'll get on with it, dust ourselves down and get ready for the next tournament. Yeah, I think when we look back, maybe in a month or so we'll appreciate what we've done, appreciate the love and the togetherness that we've shown the country, and it's been amazing to be a part of, for sure. But we're footballers, we're winners, we're sportsmen, we want to win in everything we do, so of course it's going to hurt, it's going to be hard to take. But yeah, the bigger picture, we've got further in the tournament, our first final in 55 years, so now we've got to build on this. We've got a great young squad, they'll learn from this, we'll all learn from this, and hopefully we can progress even further next year.
It is the words of a leader in in Harry Kane, the man to step forward to do his interview duties. Maybe we dropped a little too deep, his words, and a missed opportunity for England on the night. But it does feel like the start of something for this side.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, semi-final and a final now in successive major tournaments. And I think, look, we have been doing this show from London and we have felt the love for the national team, which I can't remember for a very, very long time. I think everyone now relates to them. And there'll be a bit of soul-searching, definitely. There'll be a few who will say, well, why didn't Gareth Southgate do this or that? But I think ultimately people will be very, very proud of this group of players. And they will now go into the next major tournament, as Andy said, in Qatar, and the next Euro in Germany in only 3 years, full of belief. And I think now the expectation of the England team, rightly so, is now we should be reaching the last four and the final. And, you know, there have been many great footballing sides that have lost the final and have learnt from it and have gone on very quickly to then ultimately lift the trophy.
Semi-finals of the World Cup, semi-finals of the Nations League and the final of Euro. But it is Italy's night and they will celebrate long into it, as they did when Bukayo Saka's penalty was saved at the Fan Park in Rome. I think they enjoyed it.
Do you think they're going to have any voice?
Probably not. It is Italy who are the European champions. Stay with us. There's lots more to come as we remind you of some of the greatest moments of Euro 2020. And there have been a few.
You're listening to the official Euro 2020 podcast in association with Qatar Airways.
I'm Rob Taylor and I'm with Chris Parrott and Andy Brassel following Italy's success at Euro 2020. A reminder, the official Euro 2020 playlist is on all major music streaming platforms. It features song choices from various players as well. OK, we want to take a look back now at some of the greatest moments of Euro 2020, and there have been several. It all started on Friday, the 11th of June, ahead of the opening match between Italy and Turkey in Rome, when Andrea Bocelli gave us an emotional rendition of Nessun Dorma.
Patrice Mertens, it's come to Lukaku, who would not miss from there.
The curtain comes down on a 20-year international career, a fitting tribute to Goran Pandev.
They might still get another here. Pau Torres off the defender. Five for Spain.
Alexander Zinchenko now.
Oh, to fire it in to Artem Dovbyk, who surely sends Ukraine into the quarterfinals.
And here's Grealish.
And there's Kane. And England reach out. A vast national embrace.
Can Mbappe deliver? He's denied by Sommer, and Switzerland have done it against all the odds.
Oh, how about that? Christensen, a firecracker to send Copenhagen wild.
Now it's Schick from range.
Oh, it is a thrilling goal. It is one of the great Euro goals.
Nobody has scored more goals in the competition than Ronaldo, the all-time leading goal scorer at the finals.
This for Italy to win it, Jorginho style. They are in the final. Their run goes on.
Harry Kane, and Kane again! Stop him if you can! Schmeichel, momentarily heroic, but
it has been a remarkable few weeks of football and something it felt like we all really needed. 51 games now played, 142 goals, 2.79 goals per match, which I think is the highest ratio since 1982 or something like that. It has been a remarkable few weeks. Chris, so many highs and lows.
Yeah, when I think back to my personal highlight, I think there was two nights in the group stage when I didn't go to bed till about 3 o'clock because I was trying to work out what had happened. The night when Austria and Denmark went through, and because of the results, I think four other teams went through as the best third place teams. That was brilliant. And then the culmination of Group F, that so-called group of death, when at one stage, Portugal were going out. At one stage, Germany were going out. And then Leon Goretzka scored very late on. And it was Hungary who, unfortunately, were the team who had to bow. Yeah. That was unrelenting. And that was even before we got to the last 16.
Andy, what was your highlight?
Well, I was lucky enough to spend the group stage in Budapest, where we had full stadiums. And it was electric. And for me, the Attila Fiola goal for the home nation against France, which was one of the shocks of the tournament at the time. Of course, France just about managed to get a draw out of it. The noise of that was something special. On what was a roastingly hot afternoon with a Hungarian national team, they put so much in. It was incredible. And they got their moment, and they gave the stadium announcer a little bit of a fright when they knocked all the water off a little table at the side of the pitch as well. But, you know, it's been a long time since we've heard noise in stadiums, and we certainly haven't heard noise like that in a stadium for a very long time.
Yeah, by the end, it was almost normal to have fans back, which perhaps is the biggest success. Rob, your highlight?
Yeah, there were a few. I mean, I have to go with Kevin De Bruyne's cameo against Denmark, where he came off the bench and assisted and scored a brilliant goal. I think Andreas Christensen's thumping effort against Russia after that sort of crazy goalmouth scramble was actually my favourite moment. And that really felt like the moment when all that Christian Eriksen emotion poured out in a positive way. Yeah. He sort of thumped the ball in. They'd won. They knew at that point they were likely going through. Even Dovpik, you know, the unlikely hero for Ukraine with his header, and that Jan Sommer penalty save against Kylian Mbappe. I mean, there's been so many. That was probably, I mean, people were saying, Chris, one of the best days in tournament football ever.
Yeah.
That day, of course, when we had Croatia-Spain and Switzerland-France.
Oh, yeah, and about 9 billion goals.
14, two games.
You know, there were, as I said, I think now we've mentioned three individual days which were absolutely spellbinding. And of course, we haven't mentioned, I think, probably in many ways, we thought it might be the worst, but perhaps the best day was the unity and the respect which was shown to Christian Eriksen at Parken that day, and how Simon Kjær, you know, acted for his friend, let alone his teammate. So there's been so much to admire at Euro 2020, and Italy, while they're never going to forget it, are they?
They're certainly not, and they have the player of the tournament, as he was awarded pretty swiftly after full time, in Donnarumma, Chris.
Yeah, and there's a wonderful quote which the great Giorgio Chiellini has given to a British TV station. He says this, and this is high praise indeed. "I'm lucky because I played with Gigi Buffon. Now I play with Gigi Donnarumma, and it's the same. Now, Donnarumma is 22, and he has long been seen as Buffon's heir, and he's played lots of football, but you are talking about one of the greatest goalkeepers of the last two or three generations there."
Yeah, it's so satisfying when a player who made his debut at 16, of course, for AC Milan, then does live up to the expectation and deliver. And look, he could have won young player. I mean, 22 is ridiculous. The actual young player of the tournament is Pedri, Andy Brassel, the Spanish midfielder who didn't score or assist but lit up the tournament with his performances, the Barcelona man.
He was absolutely magnificent, Rob. And I think the best compliment I saw paid to him was in El Mundo Deportivo back in Barcelona, where, of course, he plays his club football and was so impressed over the last season, where they described him as a player so good that Messi is happy to pass to him. And I think that's a very, very good
compliment
way of describing it. You know, arguably the greatest player of them all sees Pedri as someone he can connect with and has convinced him that there is maybe a future at Barcelona, you know, that there's a new generation coming. And, you know, Luis Enrique said it, didn't he, during the tournament or after Spain had exited the tournament, where he said, "The things I've seen Pedri do, I didn't even see Andres Iniesta do." And these are compliments from guys who've seen everything.
Yeah. And I just wonder what people in Spain watching the final would have made, because I think, and football fans love to think, wow, what if we all do? I think Spain were arguably the better team in the semi-final, but lost on penalties. And I think they will probably be thinking, man, if we'd reached the final, maybe we would have won it.
Yeah, could have been a completely different finale, of course. OK, let's get our goals of the tournament. Well, it's an obvious candidate, isn't it? Because he also finished joint top scorer with Ronaldo on 5 goals.
Should we just say aside from Patrick Schick?
OK, so Patrick Schick's halfway. That's what we agree on that, Andy, do we? That's the best goal?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, anything else is window
dressing.
I was scared
Andy was going to say no, actually.
but if we are going to widen the discussion,
please,
I think it's easily forgotten because it was one of the shocks of the tournament eventually at the end of that night in Bucharest. But Karim Benzema's first goal against Switzerland for the first touch.
Yeah, that was exceptional.
Pogba's goal in that game.
Yes.
He held him from 25 metres, yeah.
I will go, I think, Kevin De Bruyne's strike against Denmark, you mentioned his cameo, was off the back of about 5 first-time passes, left-footed from the edge of the box first time. But I actually think my second favourite goal is Luka Modric against Scotland. With that first time outside of the right foot into the top corner. It was Luka Modric, and there aren't many players in certainly the last 20, 30 years that score that goal regularly. He is one of those, and he is still a joy to watch.
He certainly is. I might actually go with Lorenzo Insigne's goal against Belgium, where he picked up the ball from the halfway line and then just did what Insigne does. And he was told, apparently, I think by Roberto Mancini or one of the coaching staff, that sometimes you need to shoot near post because goalkeepers know you're going to wrap your right foot around it and bend it into that corner. But he said he couldn't help himself. And sure enough, it paid off. The Euro 2020 team of the tournament, by the way, will be picked by UEFA's technical observers, which includes the likes of the former England head coach, Fabio Capello, and David Moyes. And it will be announced on Monday. The technical observers will also pick their top 10 goals of the tournament, which will then go to a fan vote. Which kind of players would it make it into the team then? I'm sure, you know, you're looking at left back. How stocked is that position? You've got Myler for Denmark, Shaw for England, Spinazzola for Italy. Andy, what sort of names would you be throwing into that candidates list, do you think?
Yeah, I think Spinazzola is a clear one. Romelu Lukaku's contributions, I think, are easily forgotten because of the way that Belgium went out to, as we've seen, an exceptional Italy side. Jorginho, I think, could fly under the radar. He's been fantastic. Raheem Sterling's in there. And Declan Rice had an absolutely terrific final despite finishing on the losing side and was very, very important, as well as Calvin Phillips for England.
And he's picked the 11.
He certainly has. Well done, Andy. Job
Hedging
done.
Bets.
You can tell David Moyes he can have the day off. Okay, look, gents, it's been an absolute pleasure to share the tournament. And I hope everyone who's been tuning in for every show has enjoyed it too. So Andy Brassel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chris Parrott, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob.
To our wonderful production team, thank you very much. And thank you for listening to our live show over the past 4 or so weeks and subscribing to the official podcast. I want to say thank you to all the pundits who've come into our studio to appear on the show, to all the UEFA ambassadors and legends who've taken their time to speak to us as well. We've had the likes of David James, Michael Owen, Alan Smith, some of the biggest names in football on the show, Joe Cole, Ashley Cole as well. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Qatar Airways, for making this show happen. And to you, the listeners, of course, are the most important people out of everyone. And we really appreciate your support. We hope you've enjoyed listening each and every day. We've loved your company, and congratulations to the new winners of Euro 2020, Italy.
Trippier for a fantastic start here. Shaw, they've got it. His first goal for England, and what a time to get it.
Look at that for the finish in the biggest match of his life.
It's in low, flick on, and it's forced in the end from very close range by Leo Bonucci, and Italy are level. There have been signs. Only the second time in the history of this competition it will be decided from the spot. 1-1. Saka still has to score, of course. Pressure on a 19-year-old. And now Italy win. They're European champions for only the second time.
Thanks for listening to the official Euro 2020 podcast in association with Qatar Airways.